The title of this message is The Authentic Test. The Authentic Test. You're familiar with the story in Genesis. It says this, later God tested Abraham and called to him and said, Abraham, he said, yes, here am I. And he said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. And you know the rest of the story. He was called upon to sacrifice his son. It was an incredible test. I mean, I can't imagine having to go through something like that. One of the things that we get from this is that the authentic test will involve you giving up something that you dearly love. It always does. What we're going to talk about today is the authentic test, and it will require of all of us to give up something that is very close, to give up something and an attachment, something that's very close to you, to give up something that you love. Why did God test Abraham? Well, I suppose to find out just how authentic he really was. You know, it's one thing to give lip service to God, to say, I love Jesus, I love God, I'm a Christian. We had a call just recently, and I don't know why this woman called to tell me this. She didn't want anything. She just called to tell me that she's a Christian. And I thought, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that nice? Now, you know, truth of the matter is, I really don't care. That's between her and God. I can't do anything about that. I mean, that's good. That's good news. But why are you calling a church to tell me you're a Christian? Does it make sense to you? I'm not calling churches and telling them I'm a Christian. But anyway, people are strange. We all are. So why did God test Abraham? To see how authentic he really is. He really was. Now, I think a lot of people would say, well, I'm glad God doesn't do this today. I'm glad the Father, you know, that old harsh Father God back in the Old Testament, I mean, he was rough on people, calling them to give up their son, you know, kill your son that you love. I'm glad he's not like that today. But think about it. Does it make sense that people can call themselves Christian, flock to a church every weekend, and yet there be no authentic test throughout one's life? I mean, is the authentic test nothing more than going down to the altar and saying, I want to give my heart to the Lord? Is that all there is to it? A mere public confession? Is that all it is to it? Again, the concept, the authentic test, giving up something that is close to you. Now, I believe that there are things that God has set in motion that daily test just how authentic we are. Daily. Just how real we are. You know, God has a track record for proving people. I mean, it makes sense for God to say, I need to know where you stand. I need to know what will happen if you run into this set of circumstances, temptations, what you will do. Where will you go with it? Will you yield? Will you resist? Will you fight? Will you pray? What will you do when you meet these set of circumstances that come into your life? Well, the Bible has a lot to say about this. I'm going to just mention several of these. Exodus 16 verse 4, you don't have to turn there. But then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. You know that story, God would rain down manna twice as much every Friday evening, so they wouldn't have to be out there gathering on the Sabbath day. But it says, I'm going to do this just to prove whether they will walk in my way or not. And this went on for 40 years. It seems that the Sabbath is sort of important to God, you know, for this to go on for 40 years. And you shall remember all the ways which the Lord your God led these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. To prove, to test where you stand, whether you are authentic or not. Another scripture, Deuteronomy 13 and verse 3, says, Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proves you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Again, this is in reference to God sending gurus and false prophets and all kinds of people that come to you and say, I've got a message for you. The Lord has spoken to me, and I'm here to tell you. Go jump off a cliff. You know, whatever. you know, and you do understand that God can, if he wants to tell you something, you know, he can do it. He can tell you. He doesn't need the guru, the prophet, he can talk to you specifically through his spirit or whatever to tell you to do something. But it says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to send all kinds of deception out there, or people, or prophets, false prophets, or whatever, to prove you, to see whether you will stick with me or not. And then in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, it says, there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also will make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Again, you know, the proving ground that when we are tempted, our confidence is in there is a way of escape. The promise is there's a way out. And I think we have to seek that way out. We have to look for that way out. We have to keep searching until we find it. Now, there's a problem. Often when your religion, our religion, becomes secondhand nature, we've been doing it for so long. Let's say you've been keeping the Sabbath for 20 years. When it becomes secondhand nature, we often devalue the importance of why we do what we do. We get so used to it. You know, well, I've been keeping the feast for 20 years now, and it's just another feast, and that's great, that's wonderful. But it becomes secondhand nature, and we sort of devalue why we're doing what we, and we sort of lose the importance and how important it is that we keep the faith and understand why certain these things come into our lives. But we often do that when our religion becomes secondhand nature. Now I want to look at three things that we do that test how authentic we are. Three things that God has set in motion. And it doesn't matter whether you're red, yellow, black, or white. These three things will test just how authentic a Christian really is or wants to be. I mean, you're familiar. There's all kinds of people that claim the name, that would say they're a Christian. But this is sort of three little things that test just how authentic we really want to be when it comes to being a Christian. And they revolve around three areas. One is your money, your time, and your appetite. Your money, your time, your appetite. I've often referred to them as three false gods that we go after, the you know, the money god, the time god, and I've often referred to it as the belly god. That three false gods that human beings seek after and desire and want. Money god, let's talk about this one first. This issue is set in place to test just how authentic we are. Money. And the idea is, well, no one's going to tell me how to spend my money. I've worked hard for my money. I'm not going to turn around and give this to God. It's my money. Matthew 6 and verse 19 says this. I want to look at this, just how close and how this connects up with how authentic a person really is. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There's no getting around this as an authentic test, where God says, you know, I need to know where your treasure is. Once I find your treasure, I'll be able to see where your heart is at. Money is an authentic test. Malachi 3 and verse 8 will say this, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, where have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You know, I mentioned last week about, I quoted that verse about the temple of the Lord and doing a work. Often we get carried away with our own agenda and we sort of overlook what God's house, what he wants us to do as far as a work of preaching the gospel of the good news. But this one here is one of the authentic tests, and it is your money. How often are we tested in this area? Every time you get a paycheck. Every time you come into money, you are tested in this area. I mean, it's just sort of natural. It just keeps coming. You know, well, hopefully it keeps coming. I don't know. It may be, you know, your money may be getting sort of low. But every time, this is an authentic test that naturally comes our way. Your money, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The second one is your time. Your time. And I think, again, time is, in a way, the most precious thing that we have. Especially as you get older, you realize, boy, it's really getting more precious. Every day I get older and older, I really value my time. And but again, you know, we hold it so, it's so precious to us that a lot of people would say, Lord, you're not going to tell me how to spend my time. You know, it's the only thing I've got control over, or so we think. But I'm not going to give them my time to honor you, to worship you. Exodus 31 verse 15 says, 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy unto the God. Whosoever does any work in the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. And I can just hear someone saying, well, how can you worship a God like that that would put people to death for not keeping his Sabbath? How? How could you worship a God like that? But you know, that's sort of, the real question is this. The real issue is this. We don't like anybody interfering with our time. That's the real issue. You know, messing around with how we spend our time. We don't like that. Our time is precious to us. And God knows this, that our time is precious. And for that reason, we have the authentic test that comes every seventh day. Remember, I don't know how many of you watched Lord of the Rings, but there was a creature, it's a Gollum, you know, his precious ring. It was so precious to him, you know, that ring. Ugly looking creature. I don't know which was uglier, you know, Gollum or E.T., if you ever watched that movie. But it was so precious to him that that's the way he became what he became, this demented creature that was so compulsively after this ring. But a lot of people are like that with their time. Did you know that someone once said that children spell love T-I-M-E, time. And you know as well as I do that there are people, parents, who don't even have any time for their own flesh and blood children. Now, if they don't have time for their own flesh and blood children, what do you think it says about God? How much time do they have for God? Very little. You know, very little at all. So this second authentic test is our time. How often are we tested? Every seventh day. It's real, you know. I mean, you can look at these things and say, oh, that's no big deal, but it is. It's constantly there, the authentic test. The last one is your appetite. And again, a lot of people would say, you know, and I've heard people say this, but you're not going to tell me what I can and cannot eat. No way. If you look at Americans, you realize there's a gross, you know, appetite is almost insatiable appetite of the American public. Philippians 3 and verse 18 says this, and I think it's interesting how it refers to this as a God. It says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that there are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. That little phrase, whose God is their belly. It's true, you know. Belly God, you might say. Leviticus 11 and verse 1, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying unto them, speak to the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which you shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. And God makes a distinction between the scavenger animals that are not fit to be for human consumption and the animals that are meant for human consumption. But you know, we don't like God getting involved in our personal issues. But when it comes to being the authentic test, it's about personal issues. It's about issues that get right down to the nitty-gritty personal areas. You've probably heard You know, people will say, well, my doctor told me I shouldn't eat this pork or whatever. And because doctors are, to a lot of people, doctors are like a god. You know, my doctor said this, and he said it. But you know, the strange thing, God said it 6,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Don't eat the fat. Don't eat this. You know, it took, what, doctors 6,000 years to figure that one out. Don't eat the fat. You know, now they say that. But God said it a long time ago. So here we're talking about respecting God's wisdom when it comes to your health. Respecting God's wisdom when it comes to your health. The authentic test, your appetite. How often are we tested? Every time you eat. The authentic test. Now, if you understand this, you know, this area of how important this is, the authentic test that comes our way every single day, these three areas. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, there are a lot of people that do this who maybe still don't have a relationship with God. Just because you do these things doesn't mean you're going to have a relationship with God. But what it does mean is that you're on the right track and understanding that God has set in motion things that daily test just how authentic we are. He has set in motion a set of laws, commandments, that pierce maybe the superficial Christian that just gives lip service to this. So three gods, false gods, that must be conquered. The money god, the time god, and the appetite god, or the belly god. In conclusion, it says in Hebrews 4 and verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart." As I mentioned earlier, often our religion can become secondhand nature, and we devalue the importance of why we're doing what we do. But never forget that God has set in motion the authentic test. Your money, your time, your appetite. And remember that just like Abraham, often it involves something that is very close to us, something that we dearly love, and that is giving up something that we dearly love.